Now, I really love the Jesus story Bible book that we read each Sunday. It's well written, it's beautifully illustrated. But what I most appreciate about it is that it is Christocentric. As it tracks across the span of the Bible, it shows us how each and every one of its stories points to and find its greatest fulfillment in Jesus. Because not only is Jesus the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, the rescuer king that God promised to send to the Jews, Jesus is also the greater prophet like Moses. He's the true high priest of the new covenant. He is the better Noah. He's the blessing of Abraham to all the nations. He is the greater Joseph. He's the true David that we all need and long for. Now, this way of looking at the Bible, both its individual stories as well as its larger unifying narrative, as all pointing towards Jesus, is not just another clever or interesting way of looking at the Bible. In fact, I would tell you that it is the correct way, it is the intended way that we are supposed to read and understand Scripture. Now, sometimes the clues to this, they're rather subtle. In fact, they're easy to miss until you've read the text probably 100 times. Certainly, it's more discernible when you know what to look for. And part of my hope in reading these children's stories to us each week is that we'll become better and better at seeing this in the Bible. But other times, the Bible is much more explicit about this. It tells us plainly that Jesus is the greater fulfillment of someone who has come before him. And today we are going to look at one of those texts. Our text is going to show us how Adam, the very first human, points us to Jesus. And how Jesus is the better Adam that we all need. Now, we are in the midst of a sermon series from the book of Romans, this New Testament book. It's actually a letter written by the great missionary and church planter Paul to the church that was meeting there in the city of Rome. And Paul wrote to them because he wanted to encourage their faith. He wanted to make sure that they understood how and why God was working in them as well as in the world all around them. Well, to this point in the letter, Paul has argued that all of humanity is underneath God's judgment and wrath because every single one of us has rejected him and his rightful rule in our lives. No one is moral enough, no one is religious enough to be justified, to be right with God on our own. We simply cannot do it because none of us are anywhere near good enough. But Paul has also given us the gospel, the good news, that God has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God has made a way through Jesus for us to be justified, for us to be made right with him again. Well, this morning, we are going to hear Paul explain how the first Adam failed. We're going to learn why that is such a problem for us. And we're going to discover how Jesus is the second and better Adam that we all need. You got a Bible with you? I would invite you to open to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now this morning, I'm actually just going to read the whole text to you up front. And then we'll dig into what it's saying and what it means for us. Because I think that it'll actually be the easier way to understand it. So I'm in Romans 5, and I'm going to start in verse 12. Here's what Paul writes. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act results in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man will many be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These are the words of God for us. Let's talk about this text. The first Adam failed. Let me step back for just a moment. The Bible will never make sense to you unless you understand what the Bible claims about how we got here, why we're here, and how things went so terribly wrong. The opening verses of the Bible describe how God made the heavens and the earth, basically everything, the entire universe. The opening chapters of the Bible describe how God brought order and function to our world, a world that was good and fertile, full of life and potential. God populated this world with plants and animals in the sky, on the land, under the sea. And then he created human beings, special creatures that he made in his own image. And he appointed them as vice regents over this creation, giving them work to do, populating the earth, developing the land, building culture. But God put only one restriction on them, that they not eat from the fruit of one particular tree. And he warned them that if they did, that it would lead to death. Everything else was available to them for their enjoyment and for their use. Even though everything was good, was very good in the beginning, things went terribly wrong. God's great enemy tempted these first humans, questioning whether the God who had created them really was as good as he seemed to be. And succumbing to this temptation, these humans rebelled, convincing themselves that they knew better than God what was best for them. And they ate the fruit. In this act of defiance, of rebellion, of disobedience, broke the world. Their innocence was gone, and sin and death spread to everything and to everyone. And so this is what Paul is talking about there in verse 12, where he describes how sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And the Bible tells us the name of this first man. His name is Adam. Now, part of what is so interesting about his name is that his name is the word for man, or in more modern parlance, humanity. In fact, when translators are translating the original text, which was in Hebrew, into English, the language that we're speaking now, when they're translating those first few chapters of Genesis, every time they come to the word Adam, they have to make a decision based on context alone, whether to write Adam or man or humanity. So why is this interesting? Because this is another way in which the Bible communicates to us that Adam is not only a historical figure. He is more than this. He's also the representative of everyone who is contained in his name, humanity. Adam is us. We are Adam. We are part of Adam because we are part of humanity. What he did, we also do. His rebellion is our rebellion. His estrangement from God is our estrangement from God. See, Adam is not only the first of us, he is also our representative. And that is terrible news. Because it was through Adam that sin entered into the world. And that sin brought death. And death has come to all people because Adam, all of humanity, has sinned. The first Adam, the Adam who is our representative. He's our representative from the moment of our birth, even from our conception. He is a failed, rebellious Adam whose legacy to us is one of sin and death and failure. In this Adam, we have only death. We need another Adam. Hold on to that thought. We're coming back to it. At this point, though, I want to try to explain two issues that seem to have been going on in Paul's mind. Two issues that likely have not even occurred to you or to me. Two questions that Paul assumes that some of his Jewish audience, his original Jewish audience, might have been wondering about, but frankly aren't anywhere on our radar at all today. The first question was about whether sin was really such an issue before God gave his people the Old Testament law. This would be the law that was given to them through the great prophet leader Moses. Now, it's not that people didn't do wrong or evil things before the law was given. They certainly did. There's plenty of examples of this in the Bible. But the thinking was that maybe since the law hadn't yet been given, then people weren't technically breaking God's commands yet. And so maybe it wasn't quite so bad back then. But we see in verses 13 and 14 that Paul does assure them that sin and brokenness and death, they were in the world long before the law was given to them. And that is because these are things that can be traced back to the very first of them, back to Adam. The second related question that seemed to have been bubbling around in the background was whether or not Moses might be the second Adam. The first Adam had failed. Maybe Moses was the new and better representative that the world needed. I mean, after all, Moses was God's specially chosen leader during the pivotal time in Israel's formation when they became a nation. I mean, even more importantly, it was through Moses that God had given them the Old Testament law. These commandments that governed how they were to live and how they were to worship as God's representative people in the world. And it was a law that revealed so much about God and so much about them. It cemented their identity. It clarified their purpose. It explained what God expected of them. And so maybe Moses, this great lawgiver, was the second Adam they needed to help them address their sin problem. But Paul wants them to know that, no, this doesn't work either. This seems to be why in verse 20 Paul refers to the law again. And he says, the law was brought so that trespasses might increase. A distinction between sin and trespass. A sin is, it's anything done contrary to God's design or purpose, will for the world, whether we do it knowingly or not. A trespass, however, is an act of an intentional disobedience. It's knowing God's law. It's knowing God's expectation and then choosing to defy it. Sin is bad. Trespass is worse. And so Paul's point seems to be this. Moses isn't the Adam you need. Yes, he was the means by which God brought his people the law, but the law didn't fix our sin problem. In fact, it only made our sin even more serious because now we knowingly disobey God. Now, admittedly, most of us do not have the same kind of assumptions or connections to the Old Testament law that some of Paul's original audience did. And that means that sometimes their questions about the text are different than ours. But let's get back to the central message in this text, a message that does very much speak to our hearts and lives today. And I want to remind you where we left off. The first Adam failed us, and he introduced sin and death into the world. And that is bad for us because we are in him. He is our representative. His sin is our sin. His death is our death. We need a better Adam. And this is exactly where the gospel, where the good news comes in. God has given us another Adam, a second and better Adam. Jesus came as the second Adam. See, where the first Adam failed, the second Adam has succeeded. When challenged by the devil and faced with temptation, the first Adam failed. He gave in, coming to believe that he knew better than God what was best for him. But the second Adam, Jesus, he succeeded. When he was challenged by Satan in the wilderness and he was faced with temptation after temptation, Jesus kept trusting in the goodness of his Father. And in doing so, he created the possibility of a new legacy for humanity, one of righteousness instead of one of sin. See, in Jesus, humanity is presented with the opportunity to have a new representative. We are offered the chance to be included in a new and in a better Adam. In fact, throughout this text that I read to you a few minutes ago, Paul describes how Jesus is the better Adam that we need. Paul compares and he contrasts the work of the first Adam with the work of the second, with Jesus. In terms of its consequences, the disobedience of the first Adam, it brought sin and condemnation and death, and it brought it to all of humanity. But the obedience of the second Adam, of Jesus, brings grace and justification and life to all who will accept him. The forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, renewed life now, eternal life into the future. But Paul is also very careful to point out that the work of the second Adam has the power to overcome the work of the first Adam. The second Adam's grace is far greater than the first Adam's sin. As Paul says in the closing portion of this text, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does all of this mean for us today? It means that we all have a choice to make, a decision about which Adam we are going to stand with. See, we all begin with the first Adam. We are born into him. This first Adam, who was told that he would enjoy blessing if he obeyed God, instead he chose rebellion, and he brought sin and death into the world. And his sin is our sin. His rebellion is our rebellion. His legacy of sin and death is our legacy, because he is our default representative. And there's no escaping this apart from God's intervention. But see, God has intervened. He sent his son to become one of us in the person of Jesus, to come and be our new and better Adam. A new and better Adam who knew that if he obeyed God, he would have to face agony and crucifixion. But unlike the first Adam, he chose obedience anyway. And he did it so that he could rescue us from sin and death. On the cross, our sin became his sin. It was our rebellion that put him there. He took upon himself our legacy of sin and death that we got from the first Adam, so that we can take up the new legacy of grace and forgiveness and justification that we can have in him. See, this text that we've looked at today, this text is an invitation to respond. We have a choice to make, to continue standing with the first Adam in the legacy of sin and death, or turn in faith to the second and better Adam so that we can live in a legacy of grace and forgiveness and life. You know, if you sense that God is calling you to respond to this offer of grace and forgiveness and life, that is something that you can do even here this morning. And in fact, it's really simple. It's as simple as A, B, C. All you got to do is acknowledge your brokenness, that you are a sinner like all of humanity, like all of the rest of us. You just got to be honest with God about that. You got to believe that Jesus is all that the Bible claims that he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the second Adam that we all need. And then you got to commit. You got to commit to following him as your true rescuer king. That's all it takes. Acknowledge your brokenness. Believe in Jesus. Commit to following him as your true rescuer king. If that's something you want to talk about, I'm always available to do that after the service, during the week, whenever. Just reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk to you, to pray with you about that. But I hope that all of you before you leave this service, before you end your day today, will have decided for sure which Adam it is that you want to stand with. Let me pray. Father, we praise and worship you for your glory, for your love and your justice. Thank you for not only creating us, but also setting in motion a plan to rescue and redeem us, even when we were still firmly entrenched in the legacy of the first Adam. Jesus, we pledge our highest love and loyalty to you as our new and better Adam. Thank you for willingly, joyfully becoming one of us, succeeding where the first Adam failed, even while experiencing firsthand the consequences of the first Adam's work in your suffering and death. And Holy Spirit, shape us into a people who are joyfully humble and gracious because of what you've done for us. Help us to see with greater clarity than ever the tragic legacy that we have in the first Adam and the wondrous gift of grace offered to us in the second Adam. Drive us to him and then empower us for lives of faith, service, and ministry in our beautiful but broken world. We pray this in the name of the second Adam, Jesus. Amen.